Hello, good morning. Welcome to When the Kids Go Down, or afternoon or evening, whenever you are listening to this. I have certain podcasts that I like to listen to in the morning, and then some more laid back, kind of like this one, chatty and interviewee, but like where the host is more calm ones, at night when I cook. I really hope that you can't hear everything that's going on in the background. I'm gonna re-listen to this as I'm recording because there is dinosaurs and music playing, dinosaurs and the Beatles, and lots of pitter patter from baby hands. Anyway, I'm feeling pretty eager to talk about what I want to talk about today, but I did finish Fourth Wing, and I understand now why I wasn't hearing Teddy Hamilton. I still don't like the narrator, but I was looking forward to hearing Teddy Hamilton because he has done a few books that I have read, including Zane from, he's been Zane, the character from Haunting and Hunting Adeline. I want to reread that, but I don't know. I don't know. I like want to, but I also like, I don't know, because there's other books that I want to read, and I feel like I reread it like every year. But I've also been wanting to reread Does It Hurt by H.D. Carlton, same author as Hunting and Haunting Adeline. But sorry, my brain is not working because I ran out of espresso, and so I've been drinking like a pre-made espresso, kind of like the cold brew. I forget the brand, but it's the brand that girl had a TikTok of the clump coming out of it. That's all I can ever think about, but I still purchase it. I bought their espresso roast coffee at because it was on sale, and I couldn't find the actual espresso at the store that I was getting, so my brain is not fully functioning. Anyways, I feel like Does It Hurt, or any way, sorry, that's whatever. Does It Hurt by H.D. Carlton? I feel like that one is so, I don't know. It's like a book that I've read and I remember everything that I'm like, it just feels so fresh, even though I haven't reread it as many times as I have the Cat and Mouse duet, which actually I haven't reread Does It Hurt at all. But I just feel like I just know the plot and everything that happens already, and I know every little like plot twist and thought and where like the where everything leads to. Like I feel like it's so familiar. I don't know. I just feel like it's so I'm gonna read it and then already know exactly what's happening. And I feel that way for the Cat and Mouse duet as well. It's just a different experience, I guess, emotionally, maybe. So I don't know. I rated Fourth Wing 4 stars because of Fourth Wing. Just kidding. It really didn't, like, I don't know. It was a good book, but I really 4 stars is basically 5 stars to me. I basically reserve 5 stars for something that was like incredibly impactful, that made me like cry for days, and I thought about it forever, which I did cry in Fourth Wing, but like to be fair, I cry pretty often, so not very hard to make me cry. I mean, I cry more often with like books and movies than I do in real life. But I did enjoy it. Some random observations. Violet is like Draco if Voldemort was like in power. I haven't read the fanfic of if Voldemort had won the war, nor do I know the whole story of what's going on in Fourth Wing, but Violet just kind of reminds me of like a young Draco. I don't really know how to explain it other than that. Dean is definitely a version of Gale from Hunger Games. Hate Gale. And there's a professor in Fourth Wing that gives me Snape vibes. I just wish that we had like a little bit more time between enemies to lovers in the Fourth Wing. I don't know. This is what I was talking about with my friend. I posted a photo to my stories, a screenshot that was just audio text after audio text of us talking, and it was about like books in Fourth Wing. And I just wish that there was a little more banter, a little bit of a longer, like more world building. I feel like there could have been maybe a little bit more world. Sorry, that O-R-L, those are hard for me to say. So I feel like there could have been more of that. And then a pool, a longer extension on the enemies to lovers, because it felt kind of rushed. Not maybe not rushed. It just felt like it just happened. And I don't know, I wanted it to maybe be a little bit longer. I'm excited to start reading Iron Flame. Well, I have started, but I'm like on chapter 3 or 4. I don't know. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that. I also am still reading In and Out and In and Out, Down and Out in London and Paris. But I don't know, it's feeling harder because it's not boring. It's just like so different than what I'm also, maybe I just need to like focus on one book at a time. I don't know, maybe, but it's just like so different because obviously one is fantasy and one is technically fiction, although it's like based on George Orwell's time in Paris and London, you know? So it's just like I don't know, it's very hard. It's a classic and then or is it classic or just like, what is that genre of literature? Like just fiction? I don't know. But it's just hard to switch from that to fantasy and then back to that. And it's like real life people in 1902. I don't even know if that's the correct time. Probably. I think so. But anyways, I don't know. It's hard. So maybe I should just stick to one book at a time. But In and Out, why the fuck do I keep calling it that? Down and Out in Paris and London is a short read. I just have to sit down and do it. But it's so hard with the children running around, well, not the running around part. It's just so hard because like sleep has been insane. My baby has been waking up at like 5 a.m. and then randomly in the middle of the night again. I don't know if it's teeth or he's got like boogies. And so like that's part of it. And then my first kid, so good with naps. Like on the tightest schedule with naps. Immediately like knew when to take them. This kiddo is I have never had a baby, which I've only had one baby before, but I've just never known a baby to take one nap. Like he went through the newborn phase of basically sleeping, which is not a phase. It's like the new, I mean, it is a phase, but like, you know what I'm saying? Stage is what I meant. He went through the newborn stage of napping basically all day and then waking up to eat to one nap a day. Like there was no like, okay, now he's taking two naps or three naps and now he's going to transition into two naps. And then once he turns one, we'll do the one nap thing maybe. Yeah. Like I think Miko, my firstborn, was still doing two naps up until like the year two, and then he started to do one nap. This kid, went from newborn sleep schedule to one nap a day almost immediately. So I've been just in survival mode. More specifically, oh buddy, this like past week has been one of the hardest for sleep, and it is also like my fault because I stayed up till like midnight on my phone, and then had a baby with a not a high, well, like a he was warmer temperature, and that happens at night. Like your kid could be fine all day, and then nighttime they get like a random like higher temp. So he didn't sleep well after that, and then he was up at 5. So I didn't really sleep that night, and I've just kind of been catching up on sleep. But the other day, I think it was like 2 nights after that. He slept from maybe like 8. No, he sleeps early. It was much earlier than that. Let's say like 7 to 7. Well, 7 to 6. But I was in bed, like eyes falling, eyelids fluttering, whatever. I was very tired. I look over at my clock and it's 8:30, and I was like, face was done, like routine, teeth brushed, like what? It was 8:30, and I was like in bed ready to go. So I ended up falling asleep like at 9, and I woke up fully refreshed at 5:30, and then I was like, I have a little bit more time. So then I woke up at around like 6. And that was beautiful. It was like really nice. I'm a morning person. So when I like have that big cat stretch in the morning where like you extend your whole body and you feel like you've rested so well, and I look over and it's like 5 a.m., that's a good feeling, especially after not sleeping for like a week. Anyway, that was the weekly discourse. Now I am ready, I guess, to get into the episode. I have been in a creative rut, and I just honestly feel like it may have to do with the weather because I don't even want to be on like Pinterest, which is extremely out of character for me. That's just where I mentally live all the time. So at night, I don't know, like I just want my hour on Pinterest to organize and create little collages or different, what are they called? Like folders? No, not folders. They're boards. Duh, Pinterest boards. I don't know. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I can't even focus on anything right now. It's gonna be real funny, haha, when the sun comes back out and I'm still depressed. So I created a few lists that I have in front of me. I don't remember what book it was that said that we're all like creative. We just have these creative blocks. So I have a list of things that we do every day that we may not realize are forms of creativity or that we are being creative in. So here are 20 things that we do almost every day that are actually creative, and even if we don't like realize it. All right, number one, choosing what to wear. So every outfit is an act of self-expression and styling. I'm sorry if you can hear that. I'm trying to move. Becca's playing with a ball and wooden toy. I'm right here. Number two, cooking or preparing food, even if basic meals involve combining flavors, textures, and presentation. Three, writing text or emails. Crafting a message requires word choice, tone, and sometimes even humor. Four, telling stories. Whether it's recounting your day or making up an excuse, storytelling is a creative action. I like how it's like literally lying. Five, taking photos. Snapping a picture even casually involves composition, lighting, and perspective. Sometimes on our iPhones, I feel like we can just, I don't know. I feel like when we have like a digital camera or a film camera that's like even just like a disposable one, you're forced to take like more creative photos because you only have like one, and it's costly, it's expensive. Like with Polaroids, you're basically paying like $1.50 per photo. So it just like forces us to capture a more creative photo. And with our iPhones, like we have like the worst photos on there that we have 50 of them. Let's see. Making a playlist. Choosing songs that fit a mood or occasion is a form of curation. That is something I've been trying to make a dark fantasy playlist, and I have not had time to like sit down and do that. Seven, arranging furniture or decor, even small adjustments change the feel of a space. I did do that recently with my bookshelf. Eight, doodling or scribbling, even random sketches on a notepad engage the creative part of your brain. Nine, picking a route while walking or driving. Deciding how to navigate space is problem solving with a creative edge. Sorry, I'm like super out of breath. Number 10 is probably one of my favorites, daydreaming. Imagining scenarios, conversations, or ideas in a raw form of is a raw form of creativity. 11, coming up with jokes or witty responses. Playing with language and timing is a creative skill. 12, adjusting social media captions, whether funny or thoughtful, writing captions involves creativity. 13, decorating your workspace. The way that you set up your desk or environment reflects a personal aesthetic choice. 14, rearranging your schedule. Finding ways to make your day flow better is a form of creative problem solving. 15, using emojis or GIFs. Choosing the right visual to convey emotion is a creative decision. 16, making up small games or challenges, even things like setting personal timers or racing against yourself are creative strategies. I just did that just now because I wanted to set a set time for recording all this. 17, interpreting facial expressions and body language, reading and responding to nonverbal cues requires a creative, quick and creative thinking. 18, improvising solutions to small problems, finding quick fixes, whether for a broken object or a last minute change in plans requires creativity. 19, singing or humming along to music, even if it's unconscious. Adding your own twist to a song is a creative expression. 20, finding ways to save money or resources, adjusting spending habits, repurposing items, or hacking everyday tasks involve creative thinking. On that note, my espresso tin, it's like a tin can that I had my espresso in. I couldn't throw it away, and I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm honestly just thinking to put like pens, markers, and pencils in it because it's a tin can and that's what my brain said to do. But it also has a lid, and I'm thinking like it could also be a cool garbage, mini garbage thing for my car. So if you have any ideas of what I can do with my tin can, will you please let me know? That was a list of things that we do almost every day or every day without realizing that they are acts of creativity. Now I have a list of things that kill creativity, which to be honest, I feel like I could have been more creative with this episode. But that's the whole point, is that I have like nothing in my brain to like pull from right now. What's the matter, dude? I am giving myself so much grace though, because I have two small humans that suck the life force out of me daily. And I love them, and I don't care that they have a lot of my brain power at this moment. Now, on to what kills creativity. Number one, children. I'm kidding. They actually, like, foster so much. It's just so hard when you're the mom. Okay, number one, perfectionism. The pressure of creating something flawless can stop you from starting at all. Creativity thrives on experimental and experimentation and imperfection. There you go. Two, fear and failure. Worrying about making mistakes or being judged can keep you from taking creative risk. True creativity requires embracing the possibility of failure. Three, overconsumption of content. Constantly consuming media, scrolling social media, or binge watching can leave little mental space for your own ideas to develop. Number four is self-doubt and comparison. Comparing yourself to others, especially in the age of social media, can make you feel like your work isn't good enough before you even begin. Number five, lack of rest or burnout. Creativity needs energy. If you're physically or mentally exhausted, it's hard to generate new ideas or feel inspired. It's taking it easy. Number six, rigid thinking and routine. Doing the same things in the same way every day can stifle fresh ideas. That's interesting. Creativity thrives on novelty and breaking patterns. Number seven, negative self-talk. Hello. Telling yourself, I'm not creative or this isn't good enough before you've even explored the idea shuts down the creative process prematurely. Number eight, too many rules and restrictions. While some constraints can inspire creativity, too many limitations, whether external workplace rules or internal self-imposed expectations, can smother it. Number nine, external validation obsession. If your creativity is driven solely by likes, shares, or approval from others, you may play it safe instead of experimenting freely. That's something that I also struggle with. Okay, number 10, multitasking and constant distractions. Creativity often requires deep focus. If you're constantly switching between tasks or checking notifications, you don't give ideas time to develop. There you go, buddy. Number 11, lack of playfulness. Okay. Creativity is fueled by curiosity and play. If you approach it too seriously or rigidly, it can feel more like work than a joyful process. Number 12 is overthinking, analyzing every possible outcome before you even start to paralyze the creative process. Sometimes you just need to create without a plan. 13, isolation from inspiration, staying in the same environment, avoiding new experiences, and not engaging with other creative people can limit the ideas that come to you. I'm feeling very called out here. Number 14, pressure to monetize everything. Turning creative hobbies into side hustles can make them feel like a chore, draining the joy out of them. Number 15, ignoring your intuition. Creativity often comes from the gut feeling and subconscious connections. If you're always looking for logic instead of trusting your instincts, you may block fresh ideas. Not to say that if you're like a logical thinker, you can't be creative. I think we're all creative. So that's a list of things that can kill creativity. And if you're feeling very called out, I also have a list of things that can fuel your creativity. So I mean, that really hurt, dude. Ouch. It's okay. All right, now I'm going to get into that list. So number one, curiosity and playfulness. Asking what if and approaching things with a sense of wonder keeps your mind open to new ideas. Creativity loves exploration and experimentation. Two, rest and relaxation. Giving your brain downtime through sleep meditation or simply doing nothing allows ideas to emerge naturally. Some of the best ideas come when you're not actively trying. What is that? There's this quote that I cannot think of right now, but it's basically about how rest is essential for creativity. Number three, exposure to new experiences. Traveling, trying new foods, exploring different cultures, or even taking a new route home can spark fresh perspectives and ideas. All right, so number four is creative cross-pollination. Engaging with different types of art, media, or fields outside of your own, such as music, film, science, history, can introduce unexpected influences into your work. Number five, free writing and brain dumping. This is like the artist way where they talk about just, or she talks about just writing your morning pages, just writing, waking up and putting the pen to paper. So number five, free writing and brain dumping. Writing or sketching without a plan or judgment lets raw ideas flow. Oh, morning pages. The artist way is a great example of this. Okay, I didn't know they were going to reference that. Number six, movement and exercise. Walking, stretching, dancing, or any other form can break mental blocks. Many creatives, including famous writer like Hemingway, swear by walking for idea generation. Absolutely 100% agree. That is one of the main reasons that I have not broken our morning walk routine since Mika was 8 years old. Seven, silence and solitude, aka meditation. Creating often needs quiet spaces, a quiet space to form. Unplugging from constant noise, social media, and distractions allow deeper thoughts to surface. So obviously, like in meditation, the whole point is to come back to your breath work and take out these thoughts. But I think that we do get some more clarity. And look, sometimes like when we're in the shower, that whole like we're in the shower and we have these great ideas, is because we're not focusing on anything else but showering. You okay, dude? You want those lights? All right, let me grab those for you then. Number eight, engaging with nature. Spending time outdoors, whether in a forest, by the ocean, or even in a park, can refresh your mind and provide a new inspiration. Number nine, conversations with interesting people. Talking to people outside of your usual circle. Artists, scientists, kids, elders can introduce fresh ideas and perspectives. Number 10, making time for boredom. Creativity often strikes when your brain isn't actively occupied, aka shower. Letting yourself be bored without scrolling on your phone can allow new connections to form. Although I do have my phone in the shower quite often. On to number 11, artistic rituals and daily practices. So whether it's lighting a candle before writing, listening to a specific playlist, or doodling in a sketchbook daily, small rituals can cue your brain into creative mode. Number 12, limiting consumption, increasing creativity. Instead of endlessly consuming content, switch to creating. Even if it's messy or imperfect, too much intake without output can stifle originality. Number 13, embracing failure and imperfection. The more you allow yourself to fail, the freer you become. Creativity thrives with perfectionism. When perfectionism is set aside in favor of messy exploration. Okay, clearly we are a fan of messy here. 14, keeping a notebook or voice recorder handy. Oh, I love the idea of having a voice recorder, aside from your phone. Okay, ideas strike Although, if I pulled out a voice recorder in public, I don't know. Okay. Ideas strike at unexpected moments. Having a way to capture them helps the creative flow, keeps the creative flow going. Number 15, revisiting old ideas. Looking back at the past sketches, notes, or unfinished projects can spark new insight or ideas. Creativity builds on itself over time. Number 16 is setting creative constraints. Sometimes a limiting force innovates thinking to innovate thinking. Try working with only three colors, writing a story in six words, or composing music with only one instrument. Number 17, creating just for fun. When there's no pressure to monetize or perfect your work, creativity feels more like play. And play is where some of the best ideas are born. Okay, number 18 is something that I do like while cooking, music and soundscapes. Certain types of music, instrumental, ambient, and jazz, can put your brain in a more creative state. White noise or nature sounds can also help. 19, working in different environments. Changing your workspace, moving to a coffee shop, park, or even just a different room can refresh your perspective. Number 20, and our last one here. Okay, number 20, I'm gonna have to start doing this at night, even though I have no energy and I just want to be in bed reading because it's very hard to podcast around a small baby. Okay, number 20, trusting your instincts. Sometimes your first idea is the best one. Overthinking can kill your creativity, so learning to trust those initial sparks can lead to breakthroughs. Okay, so some quick tips if you are like whatever, not so sorry. Some quick tips to help you spark your creativity. So I always carry a pen and notebook. I used to just like, well, I have always done this, but on the days that I don't, I use my phone, my notes app. I also used to use the Notion app. I just ran out of space and I had to delete it because I don't know, it was taking up a lot of space, but I might get that back now that I have more storage. Also, when I just sometimes like I have thoughts that I can't articulate into words quite fast enough. And when I'm typing them, I'm thinking, I don't know, it's just I'm on my phone and it blocks me. And so having a pen and paper around, it just helps me. It was so much better. So always carrying a pen or notebook, having even like a cute one around that's like designated for that, I think is a fun way to really get into the creative mind. And keeping it separate from like your grocery list one, or I don't know, just having like a random thoughts one or something instead of like your planner or having it at the back of your planner. I think having one designated for that is just, it feels more cozy. You know what I mean? And it's just like a way to curate more thoughtfulness into it, whether it's like just by maybe on like a, not a subconscious, but an unconscious level of just having this artsy little book for artsy little things, and just your ideas don't have to be magnificent. I think that just having it curated can make it feel that way. Okay, so and also like it this is for any, like if you're a writer, if you create content of any sort, if you are a cook, you know what I mean? Like if you, oh, this is something that I used to do, because my mom cooks, and she used to call herself like a chef, but she worked in kitchens. I don't know. She just never, I don't know. I think that that's like a title that should be like a little more respected. Anyways, I would taste things, and because my mom cooked growing up, you'd be able to taste like what was in it. And my brother and I grew up like watching Verdane, and I don't know, we were really into that when we were kids, and so we would cook together all the time. And if we ever went out to eat somewhere, my mom would like point out certain spices that they used. And when I would go out to eat like by myself when I was older, I would have like I would write down things that flavored well together. So if you're a chef, maybe that could be something, whatever. Or maybe you already do that. Or if you want to be a cook, you know? All right, so what do we have next? Changing your scenery often. If you're feeling stuck, work in a different environment, a new space, a cafe, library. Did we already talk about this? Yeah, okay. Well, that's just been like a a theme that's been playing over. Number three, set aside some 10 minutes for free writing or sketching. So even a short daily creative practice can keep your mind and your brain generating new ideas. Use your commute or walk for ideas to generate. So walking, riding, or taking the bus, driving can be times to brainstorm. Try recording voice notes. I used to do that, or listen to inspirational podcast. Number five, keep an inspiration jar. So write that. I like that idea. Writing creative prompts, words, or ideas on slips of paper and pull them out when you're feeling uninspired. They also make these dice for writers and I think cooking and for artists that have like different things on them. So you like roll the dice and it'll say male enemies to lovers, male main character, and then fantasy or whatever, you know? And so they have like certain ones. I think just on, like on Amazon or whatever. They're like writing dice and art dice. Limit your, number six is limiting your screen time in the morning and before bed. Your best creative ideas often come when your brain isn't overloaded with content. So trying to start and end the day with being tech free. Number seven, observe and take notes, like journal, pay attention to small details in conversations, places, and interactions. Number eight, try a one photo a day challenge. So capturing something visually interesting daily can sharpen your eye for details and composition. Oh, that reminds me of this book called Design. Oh my God. A Design of Everyday Things or something. The Design of Everyday. Something like that. I read it when I was studying UX design. And it was like, I think it's called The Design of Everyday Things. And it talks about how basically everything is designed. And it does open up your mind to how everything is designed, whether you're pushing or pulling a door open. And it also really sharpens your brain to when things are just so industrial and mass produced and just ugly. And I don't know, it just really there's minimalism and then there's just mass consumption and production. But that is a good book. I just got kind of bored of it. Number nine, keeping a running list of creative sparks. So song lyrics, a dream, something funny you overheard. Oh, I used to do that one a lot too. What happened to me? Number 10, experimenting with constraints, giving yourself fun limitations, writing a 6-word story. Have I already gone through this? Just maybe some of these are quite repetitive. Number 11 is set daily creative triggers. So a drink or a playlist location. Yeah, okay. Play with words, ideas, rearranging conversations, renaming things around you, doodling or sketching on your downtime instead of scrolling on your phone. Reading something unexpected, pick up a book or article outside of your usual interest. Okay, yeah, so I did. Okay, sorry. This is a list that I guess was repasted, or maybe some of them were redone in different. Yeah, okay, sorry. Okay, so I don't know if I did the last one, setting a daily creative goal. So even if it's just one sentence or a doodle or one idea, writing down something consistently will keep the creativity alive. All right, so that's where we're at. I hope this helped because I am quite scatterbrained and feeling very much in the dark of life right now, just because there is no light in it other than, I mean, I'm talking about like physically, that got real dark. I meant like there is physical darkness around us with the gloominess of what is outside. But I hope that with the sun coming up, I also am up in spirits and able to feel creative. And then because this happens like when it's too hot outside too, and everything's just so frustrating and you want to be inside. And then it's like too hot or too cold. This is why we need to live in fall and spring consistently. Anyways, I hope this helped. I hope you have a good day. And I will see you back next week. Oh, the would you rather. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to do the full list of would you rathers because it is quite extensive. But I am going to go into the original would you rather that I asked for and received. I asked chat for to give me a like grotesque and body horror, would you rather? Because body horror is something that anything that has to do with kids scares me, and then body horror is also something that it's kind of a hard thing for me. So anyways, I have two would you rathers, and both are what's the matter? You pull my hair? How many times have I said ow in this episode because you've been pulling my hair and pinching and biting me? So anyways, let's do this last would you rather and then we'll say goodbye. So would you rather have your entire body slowly transformed? Oh, trigger warning, like this is body horror. Would you rather have your entire body transformed slowly into a pulsating silent mass of tumor-like growths, each one bursting randomly to release withering nerve-filled tendrils that feel everything as they drag behind you. As your conscious remains intact, forced to experience the agony of your own uncontrollable mutation. Obviously, that is from The Substance, but anyways. Or would you rather be infested with ever-replicating colony, a translucent finger-sized parasites that burrow through your flesh, forming intricate tunnels under your skin? You can see them moving, pressing against the surface, stretching your skin into grotesque shapes as they migrate. They gnaw on your nerves, laying gelatinous eggs that hatch inside your muscle tissue. No matter how much you dig out, they may more appear, growing fatter on your suffering. What? I guess. Okay. Ow. You'll never be alone in your body again. Okay. So obviously, I'll choose the tumors growing because I know the end is near, and I can't. The idea of anything touching my bones and me being able to feel it frightens me beyond measure. It's funny how that was basically like a would you rather be in The Substance or The Mummy, which I know that the end would be near in The Substance, and I would be in The Substance because I watched The Mummy at a very young age, and I watched it many times for many reasons, and I can't do that. That scares the shit out of me. Let me know which one you choose. I will see you back next week. Thank you for listening. I hope you feel inspired to be creative. Goodbye.